Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam on Media 1548. And yes, we are going with our Q&A program with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. Alhamdulillah, Mufti is back with us in South Africa and came from Umrah from Makkah al-Mukarramah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept Mufti's trip. It's Umrah, and we request Mufti still to make dua for us, inshaAllah. And we have Brother Munir Saleh with us as well. And you know that subhanAllah making Mufti's khidmat till now, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him barakah as well and a healthy long life, inshaAllah. Okay, let's welcome Mufti. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nice to have you back, Mufti.
Jazakallah.
And how was your trip?
Alhamdulillah. Strange, because it's the first time I've made Umrah not with Hajj, and we make a special request to the listeners to make dua that Allah Jalla Majdahu accepts all our efforts.
Jazakallah, Ameen, inshaAllah. Okay, going on for the first question for tonight. Lines are open, 8541548 plus 2711 8541548 if you are calling from abroad. Yes, our mobile number for tonight as usual, 082-356-5988. That's 082-356-5988. Alternatively, you can email me at hamadlive@radioislam.co.za. Let's go with the first question for tonight, Mufti Saab. And we have a question on the mobile phone that says, what is Mufti Saab's view on the theories of Nostradamus, as some people say some of his prophecies came true?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, as Muslims, we believe in the prophecies of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and the prophecies as related by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And most of these prophecies do not have, as a general rule, specification of time. Then we have got predictions. For example, the predictions of a person called Shah Ni'matullah are very famous. And a professor by the name of Professor G.H. Brown in the history of Persia, which is in various volumes, has done some research on the predictions of Shah Ni'matullah. And if you look at those predictions, most of them have already transpired. And we have also translated his predictions. If those who are interested, you can email me, muftie@alislam.co.za, and we can forward you a copy of the predictions of Shah Ni'matullah. However, as far as the predictions of non-Muslims, they are various. One is Nostradamus, the other is a person, Billy Jean King, and the other one is Gopal. And all of them have written, and many have spoken about the coming of the Savior and the coming of Mahdi. And they alter it as per the inflow of currency and dollars. One of them, for example, predicted the coming of Mahdi and said, we've seen in his heart unitarianism, meaning belief in Allah is one. Then when the dollars flowed in, they said, no, he's now resaw in the heart, he believes in Trinity. As far as Nostradamus is concerned, then research, latest research is showing that he sourced the predictions and the prophecies of the Anbiya alayhi salam and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and apparently by his own letters and confessions to the Pope, etc., he has stated things like that he has got major material source from the Islam. We do not have to bring iman on them, and if they transpire, well and good. If they do not transpire, well and good. As far as we are concerned, not even the predictions of people like Shah Ni'matullah, we do not place our iman and faith on that also. So when we don't place our iman, faith on the predictions of Muslims, then Badarja Ola, even more so, we will not place our faith and iman on non-Muslim philosophers and those who are so-called prophesizing and making predictions.
JazakAllah for that, Muftisab. Let's take our first two callers for tonight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji.
Can you use interest money at the toll gates?
Hello?
Excuse me, sister, can you just repeat the question, please?
Can you use interest money at the toll gates?
Which toll gates?
Any toll gates.
Toll gates?
At the toll gates.
Oh, okay. Toll gates.
JazakAllah for that question, sister. Right. Assalamu alaikum. Let's go to our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to pose a question to Mufti Saab. If a person is being sponsored for Hajj, is it necessary for him to know who the person is sponsoring him, considering there's so much of halal and haram going on? And the second question is, we've recently, me and my wife, have tried to apply for accreditation with SAUK. And when we've got a daughter that's 16 years old, and we would prefer her coming with us, but according to the SAUK website, we can't apply for any person that's under the age of 19. So what would be the best thing for us to do? You know, what would be the thing to do that would make Allah Ta'ala happy? That's the two questions.
JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Firstly, it is permissible to utilize interest money at the toll gates. Secondly, that the brother that called is from my old area, Rainsworth. And Allah Ta'ala bless everybody. As far as sponsorship, if a person sponsors you for Hajj, it is not necessary for you as a person who's getting sponsored. And that refers to everybody. The brother is asking a general question, that anybody is sponsoring anybody. So the one who is sponsored does not have to make inquiries of whether the money is halal or haram. Yes, he will utilize the money. However, his concern is valid about halal and haram. If he is getting from a person who's completely only, solely dealing in haram, then obviously he should abstain from. As far as SAUK and its weird and strange clauses are concerned, and I've mentioned this previously, that SAUK is an indirect azab upon the Muslims of South Africa. And what you call, in your case, that the husband and the wife, the daughter is 16, she's baligh. So what is the difference between non-Muslim clauses and this clause here? That the clause supposed to run that if the child is baligh, then the will be the person is allowed to take, not 18. And 18 and is not the age of bulugh yet, maturity. Yes, as soon as the child is baligh, so you should motivate it and say that my child is baligh and I cannot leave her at home. And if they do not accede to it, which they will not accede to because of their attitude, then you find a place where you can keep your child, your baligh daughter, safely, where her dignity, honor is preserved. If you cannot find a place like that, then for you, you should go and perform your Hajj. And then wait for another year or so, and then take your wife and your daughter, and then you can apply that you are the mahram for them and take them for Hajj. That will make Allah Jalla Majdahu happy. Ji.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Saab. Let's go to our next two callers. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, brother.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
I've got a question here. You know, I live here in the Johannesburg area, right? And there's an Islamic school. And when it comes to the end of the month, the principal never ever pays the teachers on time. Sometimes it goes up to the 15th of the next month. And when the teachers, when you're going to ask him, like, you know, look, we need to pay accounts and whatever, you need to buy groceries and then, he tells them that if you don't like the idea, find yourself another job. I would like to know what is Mufti Saab's take on this whole thing. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah for the brother. Assalamu alaikum. Let's go to our next caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, brother.
I want to ask Mufti Saab if he can donate blood. Is jayz?
Donating blood, is it permissible? JazakAllah for the brother. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's take this question, Mufti Sahab. We have no other callers on the line.
As far as donating blood, those teachers have already donated the blood. By working, you're not getting salary. Donating blood is permissible as long as they don't sell that blood. And as far as the Islamic school that's not paying salary, if that is the truth what the brother is saying, then it is completely un-Islamic what they're doing. And it cannot be classified Islamic school. And I am of the opinion that all the Islamic schools, they should change their names and give them some other names. Because by these actions, Islam gets a bad name. And the hadith is clear that pay the person, the worker, before the sweat dries on the brow. Yeah, the sweat is dried already. And especially if you're making people grovel for the money and sprawl for the money and beg for their money which they are entitled to, that is depressing, disgusting, and atrocious to hear even that such a system prevails. And this attitude that go find another job, then if that is the attitude and presentation, and take them to the Muslim arbitration. There is the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council. Go and put your case there and let them make a proper jurisprudic, legal, binding decision. Because unfortunately what is transpiring there is gross oppression and terrorism is prevailing. So you should definitely take the matter seriously and take it to such a level that you expose the perpetrators of this un-Islamic behavior.
JazakAllah for that, Mr. Sablis. I think no other callers online. Okay, let's go to our SMS. We have an SMS here that says, my husband does not want me to use contraception. I want to, she says, I want to. I have two kids, age 3.5, and one is 1.5. Says, small and troubles a lot, especially at night. My elder feels that they neglected a lot. I want to wait a little till the next child. I don't get much help from my husband when he is home. What do I do? What is Mufti Sahab's view on this? Please advise.
In your case, that the ulama have ruled that family planning, meaning in your case spacing, due to what you have described, is permissible. So temporary birth control methods will be permissible for utilization in your case. And someone should explain this to your husband, that since he is not even prepared to help out in the rearing and upbringing of the children, then it will be permissible for the couple to utilize a temporary measure of contraceptive, so that you can have proper spacing and family planning. And after explaining to your husband in detail, then you will tell him and inform him that you are going to resort to utilizing of the pill, so that you can control and have the spacing done adequately.
Going on to the next question, I think this question came before the name. Okay, let's take the next call and stop here online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I'd like to ask Mufti Sahab that when we go for Umrah or Hajj and the ladies perform their salah in the hotel, do we read Qasr or do we read full namaz? I'll listen on air. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah for the Mufti Sahab. Okay, JazakAllah as well, sister as well. Let's take the next caller. I think we have. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, brother.
I would like to ask the Mufti Sahab, what does he think of NIHT as a constitution and the meat that is sold at the Pick and Pay?
Okay, is that all you have, brother?
That's all.
Okay, JazakAllah for the question. Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahab.
As far as the first question, is a very good question, because we have just returned from the blessed lands. And whilst I was there, I remember that when Maulana Ahmad Sahab asked one question about this, I previously was adamant that the female should go to the haram and perform the salah. But looking at the condition, what is of the condition of the behavior there in both the harams, and when it is not busy, then I have now reservations that females should not be forced to go to the haram. If they want to go, they should be cautious. And if they want to read in their rooms, even if their rooms are near the haram, that is the best course of action in our times. And if they are not staying, now the answer, if they are not staying more than 15 days, they should make qasar. They should make qasar, meaning 4 rakat salat will become 2. The maghrib remains 3 and the fajr 2. And alhamdulillah, this is a good question. And I have written on the journey some masail and some rules about Medina and Makkah. Shortly, inshallah, after it is typed and processed, we'll have it up on our website for the public to take benefit from. As far as the next question, I do not understand what the brother means by constitutional structure of NIHT. I have not studied the constitutional structure of the NIHT. And as far as buying meat from a haram outlet, then you should abstain. It will not be haram, but you should be cautious and try to abstain.
Let's go to our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, brother.
Malana, just one question. If there's somebody that passes away in India, would there be a janazah namaz that people could make in South Africa for that, or is it not permissible to make a janazah salah in this country for somebody who's passed away in another country?
If you are prescribing to the Shafi Mazhab, then it will be permissible to do so. If you are following the Hanafi Mazhab, then you should not do so. We say Salat Janaza is a dua. And if you go through your Janaza procedure, you will translate it and come to the conclusion that it is a dua. So you can benefit the deceased. Purpose of the Salat Janaza is to benefit the deceased. So by making dua and Isa Al Sawab, conferring sawab to the deceased, you will definitely benefit the deceased. And that is the purpose. So make dua, not salat janaza, in abstentia.
JazakAllah. Let's go to our next call. Looks like we came a lot of calls time. Alhamdulillah. People really missed you last week. MashaAllah. A lot of calls coming. Okay, let's take our next call. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I just wanted to ask Mufti Saab about the contraceptive. Sorry, just hold on. You know about the contraceptive and the spacing of the children.
Yes, sister.
But isn't that in Allah's hand to say, you know what, because many a times you find people on contraceptives and, then you still also fall pregnant. So isn't that in Allah's hand to say, I mean, if it's meant for the child to be, even if you're on contraceptives, then the person can fall pregnant?
Okay, sister. JazakAllah for this. Assalamu alaikum.
That is a different, completely different question what now has been posed. So what I said previously and what the sister is saying are two different, completely different things. That we are not questioning taqdeer. We are saying utilize it because of the permissibility. And after that, if the there is fructification, we cannot stop that. And if there is fertilization, we cannot stop that. And if the child has to come, we cannot stop that. But the spacing permissibility and the utilization of contraceptives for that is permissible. But after you do that, and then the child is born, alhamdulillah, we also agree that is in the hands of Allah. There are cases where operations have been done and to block off the tubes. And after that too, there has been fructification and child coming into existence. All that is in the hands of Allah, which we do not ever deny. Ji.
Going on to the next question, how much kafara must be taken out for an old person that does not raise his salah? Jazakallah, please answer this question. Sir.
The kafara, first of all, you have to validify it, that this person is old and able to make salat or unable to make salat. This person is old and sickly and able or not able. Or this person is so old that this person is senile and not mukallaf. Remember what I'm saying, that you have to be old and mukallaf, meaning responsible, accountable. Old and senile, that means no ahkam of sharia is upon that person. The person is senile, mentally not stable, or mentally completely not stable, then nothing is upon that person. When you have decided, yes, kafara has to be given, then it will be sadqatul fitr amount for every salah. And that will be 6 salah per day. The witr is taken into calculation. Ji.
Okay, Mr. Jazakallah for that. Let's go to our next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, brother. Alhamdulillah, brother.
I just want to clarify something.
Okay.
I just walked in now, so I was listening. And I heard the stuff for the interest. So I just wanted to know, double check and make sure that I heard right.
Why, you got a lot of interest.
No.
Yeah, it's right what I'm saying.
You can pay your traffic fine also, man.
Traffic fine if you are not at fault.
Oh, okay.
Jazakallah khair, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's take our next question. No other callers. Okay, let's take our next question. It says in South Africa we eat sanha poor food, but when we go to Saudi, what should we do? Jazakallah.
On one hand, everybody says that the call is there, I'll go. When the call is not there, I will not go. On the other hand, we say that when you go there, you're the guest of Allah. And we beat the drums about that. And on the other hand, you say whether there is sauk or no sauk, when I'm destined to go there, I will go there. And on the other hand, we know the du'as of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam concerning the food there. So the dua definitely has been accepted. There is no shortage of food there. Also, when there is some authority responsible for halal and haram, and that authority happens to be the person leading the salat in the haram, and we say it is permissible to read our salat in the haram behind that imam, we are not like those people who go there and classify those imams as not Muslims. We have never ever said that. But there are those people who go from our country who say that those imams are not Muslim, and they don't follow them in Salat also. So we follow the same imam, and that same imam is responsible for halal and haram. We place our Salat in his guidance and his supervision and his custodianship, and under his leadership we are performing Salat. And under his leadership we are not prepared to eat the food there. So we say eat the food there. Ji.
JazakAllah for this, Mr. Let's go to our next question. A man told his girlfriend that he gave his wife 3 talaq on the basis she married him. He now wants to take his first wife back and says to his now wife that he only gave her 1 talaq.
He's got 3 problems, this fellow. He got girlfriend, then he got first wife, he got now second wife. Who's who there in the zoo? And first of all, if he said his girlfriend, first of all, to have the girlfriend is absolutely haram. That is drawing the wrath of Allah. And if he told this strange woman, who he is classifying as girlfriend, that he gave his wife 3 talaqs, then that is valid. That means that first wife has got 3 talaqs, talaq mughallasa. And now if he has happened to marry that girlfriend and the girlfriend has become his second wife, then he's got this so-called girlfriend wife as his remaining wife now. Now by saying, no, I only gave one talaq, holds no validity because he has already confessed and stated that he has given three talaqs. His first wife upon whom he has given three talaqs is not his wife any longer. She has to sit in iddat and after that marry whomsoever she wants to. Ji.
JazakAllah for that. Okay, next question. All the xenophobic attacks are any of us safe? What dua should we read and what should we do? I want to say our Muslim brothers and sisters are victims of this as well. May Allah save us one, inshallah.
First of all, what is currently happening is not good for anybody. Not good because life is being lost. Irrespective of whether life is Muslim or not Muslim, believer or not believer. And whether this is a set up issue so that the property market drops, so that our rand drops, so that our financial situation worsens, so that our country goes into turmoil and emergency, we cannot say for certainty what is happening. However, that all of this is because of our amal, our actions. You may say that we are only 2% in the country. Yes, 2%. But if we 2% come right and come into Islam, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, if we come into Islam wholeheartedly, totally, in toto, and with sincerity, humility, with devotion, then the conditions of this country, 98%, will change in our favor. And this is, when will it happen? When Fajr Salat, so many people will go for Fajr like so many people attend the Jummah. When our Fajr is like our Jummah, then you see the conditions change in our country. Until such time, we are the ones causing the difficulty in the country. No other force can change the taqdeer besides Allah Jalla Majdahu. Our responsibility is that we should please Allah Jalla Majdahu, and that will start when we as Muslims fulfill the obligatory duties of Salat, Zakat, Hajj, fasting, and we fulfill the modesty rules of male and female, then the pleasure of Allah will come and the displeasure of Allah will go away. In the time of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, there was a ijtima in Kanpur, and whilst the ijtima was on, a Hindu school burnt. When the report came back from those who attended the ijtima to Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, they were expecting that perhaps he may be happy of what happened. Immediately his response was that because the shortfall of our focus on Allah and of lack of remembrance of Allah, that school burnt. Remember, it comes clear in the hadith in Bukhari that the sparrow dies due to freezing because of the amal of the Muslims. So whatever is happening is because of our amal. We are to blame. Firstly I, then you. We all are to blame because we are not enjoying what is good, and very few of us are forbidding what is evil. Sin is being perpetrated openly. No one is saying anything about it. Tyrants are ruling our Islamic institutes and no one is saying anything about it. People have been exploited, ripped off. No one is saying anything. And the food prices also is like an azab upon us. So we should reform, we should change, we should focus on Allah, we should spiritually uplift ourselves, then see the results. And constantly make dua that Allah protects our iman, our properties, our chastity, our intelligence, and our intellect.
JazakAllah for that. 8541548 plus 27118541548. If you are calling from abroad, yes, our mobile number 0823565988. Okay, it says we have a question. It says, dear Mufti, if a woman has 47 fas that she has min qada and she is a diabetic, can she give half fidya and keep the other half? That's fast other half. She does manage keeping roza, although she's a diabetic and she takes her medications.
Then alhamdulillah, she is very positive, so she should not give fidya immediately. She should fast, and fast now, because alhamdulillah 5:30 is when you can make iftari. So these are the days, these are the months for those who have got qaza, especially the ladies, to catch up, to make their qaza because of the short fast. In her case, she should not think of giving any fidya at this moment, but keep a proper record in case she passes away. And Allah Jalla Majdahu will make it very easy for her. When especially she is diabetic and making an effort, it will become very easy. Keep a fast, and the insulin injection would not invalidate the fast. So keep the fast, and next day do not. So every other day keep the fast, Allah will make it very easy for you.
Okay, what is the masala for? Okay, we have, let's take our next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, brother.
I want to ask Mufti Sahab two questions if I can.
Okay, go ahead.
The first one is, can I make fard salah behind a person sitting on a chair? And the second question is, if I'm winding up a deceased estate, and after a few months, a clothing store submits an account, and I want to pay the account, let's say for example it's 2,000 rand, but they want to add on interest because of the time period since the person passed away, he didn't pay the account. Do I have to pay the interest as well? Those are the questions. Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Mr. Sir, those questions.
It is permissible to follow a sitting imam in Faraz Salat if that sitting imam is obviously highly qualified and most qualified amongst those who are behind him. If there is no adequate, suitable substitute for that sitting imam, then it will be permissible for those who are less knowledgeable to follow that sitting imam. If the sitting imam, behind him there are more knowledgeable people, the salat will be valid but makruh. As far as the winding up of the estate, that you should make an appeal to those people not to charge the interest, and explain the hurmat, the prohibition laws of interest and usury to that person. If that person demands the interest, then you will have to pay it from the estate.
JazakAllah for the listing. Our next caller, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I'd like to know that is it true that if you do a child's akika, then it will save them from sicknesses, etc.? And if akika wasn't made for a baby when they were small, and now that person is big, like they are really in their 20s and that, then can they make Qurbani with the intention of akika for themselves? And I wanted to know that can women go to the Qabristan like once a week? And also wanted to know that Mufti Sahab said that you can pay interest money at the toll gates. So I just wanted to know that if those roads are privatized, can you still use interest money for the toll gates?
JazakAllah, sister, for that. Is that all you have?
Che.
Okay, JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum. Okay, now the callers. Let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sister.
I just want to know that if a boy is 9 years old and he reads his salah at home, for example, Isha salah, and there is two females that's also reading salah, must he stand in the front, or can he stand behind us, or, you know, that's one question, and I'd listen on
nine that. Is he Bali?
He's 9 years old.
Is he Bali?
Mufti, I really don't know when a boy would be Bali at what age.
Okay, JazakAllah, Assalamu Alaikum.
So, okay, as far as the Aqiqah is concerned, yes, Alhamdulillah, the purpose of the Aqiqah is to avoid future misfortune, calamities, and difficulties, and avoid hardships, etc. Some scholars have said it is mustahab, others have said it is sunnat. That is a different academic discussion. However, the Aqiqah was not made, and now the person is 20 years, yes, you can still make the Aqiqah. And you can include it as part and parcel of the Qurbani also. The laws of the Qurbani meat and the Aqiqah meat are similar. Females, we are saying clearly, should not visit the graveyards. And that discussion has passed many a time. As far as the toll gates are concerned, that it is at currently it is privately privatized, and we are saying that you can utilize the interest money. As far as the 9 year old boy is concerned, then it is better at this stage that he can be either in the front or back or on the side. Best in the back. The whole idea, according to the Hanafi Mazhab, is in this case that whilst performing the Faras Salah or the Faras Salah, the male must not touch the female, or the female must not touch the male. That will invalidate the Salah. As soon as the boy is baligh, that means now he gets a wet dream, or his voice begins to crack, or he is getting hair under the nose, moustache is developing, hair in the pubic areas and hair under the armpits are coming, then that is all alamat, all are signs of puberty. Then obviously he will go in front and the ladies in the back.
What is the mas'ala for a fard ghusl in wudu? Do we have to make wudu separate ghusl? Is enough once the ghusl is made?
Once a person makes the farz ghusl, automatically the wuzu has been rendered, meaning done, meaning performed. So that when the person makes farz ghusl, then alhamdulillah the wuzu need not be repeated. If a person does it, no problem. But obviously ghusl is the outer circle, inside that circle is the wuzu. So when you have done the outer circle, it has already done the inner circle wuzu.
We know that in today's time a lot of people are giving talaq through the SMS. Can is this if a person gives one talaq through SMS or just by making a call, is it sufficient?
As far as the SMS talaq is concerned, at this stage we are saying it is not valid until verified. So the receiver of that SMS has to phone the husband and ask, did you send this? And if he says yes, it is valid. Because, for example, if you go to anybody's cell phone and you know how to utilize it, you can make a lot of mischief via the cell phone. That is why we are saying that it is not valid until proper verification takes place.
JazakAllah for that. Let's go to the next question. I think we have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'd like to ask Mufti about Ishraq Salah. If you miss your Ishraq Salah after half an hour of sunrise, can you read it after that? And then also, I hear on the radio they say that after you've done worldly things, you can read Ishraq Salah. How does that apply? I'll listen on the air. JazakAllah.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
If you have missed the Ishraq Salah time and performed half an hour late, that will be classified as Nafil Salat, also rewardable. As far as the Sawab, proper procedure is to sit and then wait from the time you have performed your Fajr, engage in Dini activity until this after the sunrise, then you perform the Ishraq. If any worldly activity was done, obviously you are going to get the Sawab, but not the complete Sawab that you will have attained if you had sat in that place and if you had engaged yourself in Dini activities in that same gathering, not sat in the same spot per se, but sat and moved around in that same gathering, in the same area, engage only solely in Dini activity. That Sawab is separate. That is the complete tremendous Sawab. As far as engaging yourself in worldly activities and then performing the Ishraq, that is also gets a lot of Sawab, but not so much like the one described previously. Ji.
It says, okay, so we had a question. It says, may one take on to proposal if one is not decided on the first? May one take on the second proposal if the person is not decided on the first?
No, you should not do this. One proposal handle at one time. When there is a proposal, then complete it, meaning accept it or reject it. Finish that one proposal, either it's acceptance or rejection. Then go into the next proposal. Do not intertwine one proposal with another proposal. Do not mix up one proposal with another proposal. Do not confuse. The Shariat laws are very clear about that. The hadiths are there that do not put one proposal when there is another proposal. So complete the proposal, acceptance, rejection, transaction of one. After that has been finalized, whether positive or negative, then obviously if it is positive, there will be no need for a second proposal. If it is negative, obviously now the whole contract has been nullified, go in for the next proposal. Ji.
Jazakallah for the list. It says, in regards to toll roads, you have an alternative route and you are using the road. Please clarify.
Have you ever got stuck in the toll road? Then you will realize what I'm talking about.
Okay, let's go to our next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just spoke to Mufti about Ishraq Salah. After my Fajr Salah, I read my Quran Sharif and I go and make the children's lunch. And then about, well, now it's, I think it's 5 to 7 or so. Then I go back and I read my Ishraq Salah. So is the Sawab not the same as if I would have to sit down and wait for Ishraq and read? Because in summer, yes, you can sit because there's enough time to do the lunch and stuff before Fajr starts. But in winter time, the time is so short that when Fajr Salah is finished, it's already time for you to do children's lunch and their breakfast. So if Mufti can laugh at us, but if you could just elaborate on the Ishraq Salah, because I'm rather very concerned about my Ishraq Salah.
Okay. Jazakallah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum.
First of all, we must understand Ishraq Salat is not faraz or wajib. Secondly, we should know it is nafil. Thirdly, if you leave it out, it's not sinful. You will not be accountable. You will not be questioned about it. People perhaps feel if you leave out Awabil Ishraq that you are sinful. That is completely a wrong method of viewing it. You should know it is nafil. When you know the proper jurisprudential position of it, level of it, status of it, then now you must react accordingly. Alhamdulillah, you should make shukr, praise Allah Jalla Majdahu that you are making it. But in the case that you describe that you are preparing the lunch, you are getting sawab, tremendous sawab, but not the complete sawab, perfect sawab, like if you say what you are doing in summer. Ji.
Let's go to our next. Okay, just inform listeners out there that we had a person sending SMS saying that SMS calls going out before SMSs, and I think we have to take calls before SMSs because the person that calls in is waiting on the line, and the person that sends an SMS, we know that it's there. We do reply to the SMSs afterwards. JazakAllah for the person being so caring. Okay, let's go to our next SMS. Can one give the fidya of must fast on behalf of a deceased to a non-believer?
You cannot do so.
What can one read to increase one's iman and to remove all doubt?
Perform salat with jamaat regularly if you are a male. Perform salat regularly without missing if you are female. Make tilawat of Quran constantly. Recite durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. And know whatever Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought is truth, and I should adhere to it as much as possible to the best of my ability and capacity. Automatically iman will increase.
JazakAllah. Let's go on to the next question. I have received a proposal and have been performing istikhara for 3 days, but still have no feeling of what I should do. Please advise.
You got 4 more days to go, so keep reading istikhara. And obviously istikhara does not mean that when you sleep you are going to have a dream of malaika or anybody coming in your dream. What you have said is correct. Inclination, when you get up, what's the inclination? If by 7 days you do not get an inclination either way, this way or that way, then regard that as negative and carry on with life.
Okay, a color context chais, and how about if you only wear them for your husband?
How I know that you only wear it for your husband? That if you are sincere about what you say, then that is permissible. And as a rule, to wear it outside, obviously it is for attraction of the opposite gender, which will definitely be not allowed, and it will be makruh.
Who can we give interest money to? Also, can we give interest money to the maid, not a salary, but just give her to spend for herself?
Once you give to the maid, then automatic obligation takes place. She feels automatically obligated, although it is permissible. If you can give it to them without any strings attached, without any extra favors indirectly referred to, and if without any motivation, it is permissible.
Okay, it says, my father has made out a legal will that after he passes away, the house will come to me with all its contents. Is this correct? What should be done? JazakAllah.
He should give that house to you as a gift in his lifetime, so that you take ownership possession of that house. That will be the proper gift where there is physical possession taking place.
How is it that Jum'ah Salah at the Ijtima'ah grounds is permissible, but the Jum'ah conditions are not present? Please explain.
Why Jum'ah conditions were not present there? All the conditions for Jum'ah Salat are applicable there. When all the conditions as far as the ulama are concerned are fulfilled. However, if you say that the conditions are not fulfilled, kindly state that which condition was not fulfilled so that we can alleviate your doubt.
Okay, let's go on to the next 2 callers that we have. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I'd like to ask Mufti Saab that in Surah Dukhan, I think Allah mentions something to this effect that the mu'min would not suffer second death. They will only taste first death. Can Mufti Saab please elaborate on that?
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum. Next caller, let's go to our next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti Saab, please explain its Hanafi method. If females, well, a baligh child and an adult, if they can read Surah Salah together, or I'm talking about females, or must they read it individually?
Okay, Jazakallah for that, sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Second death obviously refers to the natural cause of actions, that a person dies once only, and the agony and the pangs of death, a person experiences death, and death is a way of punishment, a form of punishment, and a stage of punishment. And a Muslim will not experience this death, unlike a person who is going to be in Jahannam. He'll think that I have died because of the azab of Jahannam, but in reality, a few seconds, he'll realize, no, I am alive. And the punishment will be so intense and great that this person will feel that I died, but in reality there was no death. So this will be like death upon death upon death. So a Muslim will not experience that, this double death feeling and this double death experience. As far as Baligh, the Hanafi school of thought is very clear. There is no Jama Salah for females. So once the child becomes Baligh, the female, then individual Salat will be resorted to, will be performed. Ji.
Okay, can we on to the next question? It says, it's very urgent. Is it permissible to say Ya Rasulullah? Because as far as the Prophet says, I learned, it isn't. So if you listen to Nasheed and Nasheed or Nazams with Ya Rasulullah or Ya Habiballah, please advise, it's quite urgent.
In Fatawa Rahibia, it is written, and make dua that we have translated that, and it should be released this year. It is stated, Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri Ramtullah Ali has clarified this point, that it is permissible to say Ya Rasulullah, provided you got your belief in order, that you do not believe in the omnipresence of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If a person out of ecstasy and condition of heart says Ya Rasulullah with a full firm belief that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lies in his blessed grave in Madinatul Munawwara, then it is permissible to say it. If a person says Ya Rasulullah having the belief that he is omnipresent, then that tantamounts to shirk.
Jazakallah for the answer. Let's go on to the next question. Question says, can a person... Okay, I think this question came before, except this question comes now and then. Okay, let's see our caller first, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, brother.
Mufti sahab, most welcome home.
Jazakallah.
I wish you everything of the best.
Jazakallah.
Good health, everything, and make dua for us. You, Jazakallah. Maulana, and your engineer there.
Inshallah.
And may Allah grant you everything of the best.
Jazakallah.
And the other thing is, Maulana, I, Mufti sahab, you've got lots and lots of patience in you. May Allah give you more and more patience, because sometimes some questions asked, I feel that I don't know how you manage that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Allah will take care of you.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah for your brother. And we request dua from you as well, inshallah. Jazakumullah once again. It's so nice to see we have a lot of alhamdulillah people out there that are really caring, and people that have a lot of give a lot of dua from their heart, alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. Can one perform Fajr Salah straight after Sehri, even before the Adhan?
Definitely you can do so. After Sehri, the time of Isha has expired. Sehri ends, Isha ends, Witr ends, Tahajjud ends. Fast started, Fajr started. I'll reiterate. Sehri ends, Witr Wajib ends, then be the time for it. Isha time ends, Tahajjud time ends. Time of Fajr Salat started, so the person can make Fajr through Sunnah to Faraz of Fajr and go to bed. Yeah.
Let's go on to the next question. Okay, interesting question, but let's take our call for some stuff. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Mufti sahab, I just wanted to find out when a girl is given talaq by a male, right, and she's pregnant, does she have to sit her iddah for till the time she gives birth or after that?
Okay, sister, I will answer on the air, inshallah. Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam. The iddat for a pregnant woman who has been given talaq is delivery. For example, if the expecting mother was given talaq Zuhr time and Asr time delivery took place, she gave birth, then her iddat ended. Otherwise, she'll have to wait until delivery time. As soon as the delivery takes place, the iddat ends. For more of this, you can see our translation. We did a translation of a book on talaq, all the laws of talaq, by Mufti Sayyid Abdul Jalil Damat Barakatuhum, and it is on our website also, alislam.co.za.
Next question, Mufti Sahib. It says, okay, this question, I think it's a mother-in-law and son-in-law once again, Mufti Sahib. Mother-in-law and son-in-law are fighting for the last 20 years. It's a long time. And they badmouth each other and then make up but cause problems with other family members. Please advise, what must one do?
On a lighter side, the son-in-law can't talak the mother-in-law. But definitely he can abstain. And he should abstain. The solution is that those who interfere, don't cut relationship, but abstain from them, so that you are not harmed by their nefarious activities. And by abstaining, then you will not cause any backbiting, slander, gossiping, unnecessary domestic difficulties. Solution is very simple in this case, that abstain. Yeah.
We are having an event for kids. Can we invite the blood bank to educate the kids?
You may do so.
Okay, several times we hear that the Imam of the Haram are not Muslims. I think this is a very serious allegation. I would like to know what is the reason to these statements.
Allama Khalil Mahmood Damat Barakatuhum has written a small booklet called Taqaddus al-Haramain, and in the country at the moment, I think the library in Darul Zakaria has got only one copy. We are trying to source one. At the moment they are revamping that library and reclassifying and categorizing it. We are trying to source it so that we can translate it, wherein the respected Allama proves that no Fasik Fajr will occupy the imamut positions of the blessed masajids, Makkah and Medina. Now, we are very clear about this, that the haram imams are Muslims, and we should follow them when we go there, and do not be misled by those deviant groups who instruct people that do not go and follow the haram imams. And they instruct people, on one side they do not want to wear shoes while they are in Medina, on the other side they do not want to go and make salat behind the haram imam. What a strange behavior that is. And this is blasphemous in nature. And what is surprising, that the kingdom allows these people to go there, fully well knowing that their leaders are saying that the haram imams are not Muslims. We are very clear. You'll see tons of people, they're walking around after Isha, after Maghrib, and weeping and crying outside, but they unfortunately regard those imams as not Muslims. Our stand is very clear, they are Muslims. We should respect them, honor them, and make dua for the protection of all the blessed sites of Islam.
I think when it comes to South Africans going to Mecca and condemning the imam of the haram, I think it's just becoming too much. And people go to Mecca, Mukarram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them to those Mubarak places. And I think our work is to go to Mecca, Medina, do our ibadah and come back home. And I think we are getting involved in a big sin of ghibah. Making riba of the imams of the Haramain. And such people, we know that this is the place where Rasulullah also performed the salah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted them to perform salah on this place. We in fact must make dua for them, inshaAllah. Okay, let's take one. I think we have one other call on the line. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to know that if you suspect that one of your children got nazar and you take out nazar for them with rasul, and not even long after you finish taking out the nazar, they go and vomit, does it mean they did have nazar? Or if Muftisab could just elaborate on the nazar side, please.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
So, did you get the question?
Yeah. Now, if the condition of the person improved after that vomiting, then we'll regard it as the person did have nazar, and alhamdulillah, the medical situation has now been sorted out and solved.
One last question, sir, inshallah. Okay. The current situation in the country, does it warrant us to read Qunut Nazila?
I think in some masajids, it warrants the recitation of Qunut Nazila. And if the imam of that masjid unilaterally decides that he wants to read the Qunut Nazila, he should explain it day in advance to his followers, the procedure of it, and the reason for it, and the methodology of it, and he should go forth and recite the Qunut Nazila. Because if this gets out of control, the country is in serious difficulty. And it may spill over to all sectors and all groupings of the country.
JazakAllah for the Muftisab. Let's take some nasiha from your side, inshallah. So I think if one more call on the line, you can drop this call. Okay, I think this will be our last call for tonight, listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, brother.
Alright, like us, Muftisab, what is the significance of reading 40 salats in Medina?
Okay, JazakAllah, brother, is all you have.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, we can inshallah conclude with that.
Inshallah.
As far as the recitation of 40 salah, it is not faraz, it is not wajib, it is not jurisprudically sunnat, it is jurisprudically mustahab, good, preferred, nice. That's one. Secondly, by saying 40 salah, you should be in the masjid. And you should read that 40 salat with jamaat, obviously in the masjid. And you should be with takbir-e-ula, meaning takbir-e-tahrima. And this is very difficult to do. And it is also not necessary to perform salat in the peace of Jannat, where those white carpets are. It is very good the du'as are accepted there. But it's not faraz, wajib, sunnat, mustahab. If a person, for example, also went for umrah or hajj, time and time again, and did not kiss the Hajar Aswad, that person is not a sinner. If a person went to the peace of Jannah and did not perform salah, he went to Medina, went to masjid, and due to crowds or ailment and sickness, he did not reach there. He's not a sinner. However, if you reach there and you make salat in the peace of Jannah, then advise is make salat and make intention, Ya Allah, you brought me to Jannat, don't take me out of Jannat. Kindly please do not take me out of Jannat. Another dua that one brother suggested, that Ya Allah, I'm in Jannah, and in Jannah whatever I desire for you will give. I am in your earthly Jannah. Whatever dua I am making, Ya Allah, kindly accept it. To perform 40 salah in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all those conditions that I explained, they are benefits recorded in the hadith. That a person will be free from nifaq, hypocrisy, and he will be free from the torments of the fire, and he will be free from an agonizing death. So those are tremendous benefits. A person will be free from hypocrisy and nifaq, and free from the azab of the punishment of the grave. So these benefits one should take benefit of by performing our salat. And as previously I have explained, people are going for umrah, alhamdulillah, with various intentions and reasons and motivations. some for holiday, some for business, some for key-free walking. However, we should make it for ibadat and have goals. And this is what I have written about, and it will soon be released. Currently, we request that we make dua, and we request the listeners to make dua for all of us. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah khair, Mustafa, for that beautiful answer. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah in your knowledge, inshaAllah. And good to have you back, Mustafa, after 2 or 3 weeks back here, alhamdulillah. And a lot of SMS came on the phone that people saying, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept your umrah, good to have you back. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have requested dua as well, Mustafa.
Jazakallah. Inshallah, we will make dua for all.
Inshallah.